the truth with me together find his praise. Led by his Spirit, provoking to love. Seek the Lord and he will answer us and tell us great and mighty things that you do not know.
Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "The great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in what direction we are moving." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. This is a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, and we certainly look forward to hearing your point of view. For those of you who may be listening for the first time, our perspective is this. We believe that there is one God, and through him there's one truth which is found in the Bible. Our purpose is to stir your thinking up along with ours as we continually search for clarity and understanding this one truth.
But we are not here to teach. We are here to seriously provoke your thinking according to Hebrews 10:24, which is the theme for our program. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This provoking is encouraged by Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together. And we look to frame our comments in the context of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 and 21. Quench not the Spirit, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And the only end result we seek to accomplish is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God our Father and Jesus our Lord.
And if you'd like to contact us or suggest a topic for a future program and receive a Christian Questions travel mug, here's what you do.
You write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320, or check us out on the web at www.christianquestions.net. Today is March 18th, 2007. All audio and printed material are copyrighted and are the property of Christian Questions.
And folks, again, if you do have a Christian question or you want to reopen a topic we have already discussed, do let us know. We'd love to hear from you. So on behalf of Jonathan, my co-host.
Good morning, Rick.
And Fred, the man behind the board.
Good morning, gentlemen.
We want to welcome you to this hour of our program. So, Mr. Jonathan, sir, how are things?
Fine, Mr. Rick.
Sir to you.
Oh, sir. Last week, Rick, we talked about if Jesus knocked, would you answer?
And we were talking about the idea of, remember that it was a poem that was based on, what if Jesus came and knocked on your door to spend a few days with you, what would it be like for you? Would you have to reorganize your whole life? Would you have to reorganize all of your thinking? Would you have to reorganize your house? Would every part of you say, no, this isn't a good thing? Or would you be naturally ready, willing, and able to accept his presence in your life on a very personal basis? So it was a very interesting challenge, if you will, to our thinking and in the way we live. What's on tap for this week?
This week, our question is it really a secret? And our theme text is found in Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow.
And Jonathan, there is a relatively new DVD and book now circulating around the world, and it's called The Secret. The Secret speaks about the law of attraction and how this law influences our lives at every turn. It speaks of learning to harness the power of this law and put it to work to bring greater fulfillment to your life. This DVD has a very, very compelling message. That is, that the secret of the law of attraction is an open door to a healthy and prosperous life. This morning, we're going to look at this secret in light of Scripture and try to determine if it is, in fact, a secret and how it can affect our lives.
Well, Rick, we have two questions for consideration. The first question, what are the principles taught in The Secret?
And the second question, are these principles taught in the Bible? So, Jonathan, we're going to be talking about this DVD called The Secret. And I might as well tell you folks, I've watched it a couple of times. You can find it on thesecret.tv if you go online. And we're going to spend a few minutes just sort of outlining some of the things that it talks about. And I know you haven't seen it.
No, I haven't.
So we'll be going back and forth, but it'll be a lot more back than forth or something like that at this point, just because of trying to lay it out on the table. So as I explain it, if there's something that's not being clear, you know, just come back. First, read this quote from Martin Luther King Jr.
Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase just to take the first step.
And that's a great quote. And it's one of the principles that this DVD really bases itself upon, is taking that first step to find your prosperity and health and joy and happiness in life. So Jonathan, there's a few bullet points here. Why don't we just read through them and sort of sum them up? And folks, we're explaining to you a little bit about summing up in a way what this DVD talks about, and then we'll get into the scriptures in a few minutes.
The first bullet point: thoughts become things.
And that's an interesting point, because what it's really saying is that if you think it enough, you can think it into reality. And much of what we see in our lives actually follows through with that. And we'll open that up as we go through.
Next point, as long as you are thinking, the law of attraction is working.
That's another very, very interesting and important point. What it's really saying is that the thought and belief and the feeling process within humanity attracts different things to ourselves. And this is, I really believe this is true. Now, it's not like you can attract very specific anything to you, but as long as you're thinking, the law of attraction is working.
Next point, like attracts like.
So really, to give a little bit of an expansion on that, what it's saying is if you're thinking happy and positive and motivated thoughts, what you attract to you is a happy and positive and motivated environment or people or direction or something. Unhappy, unmotivated, and depressed thoughts attract the same kinds of things.
Next point, your feelings/emotions let you know what you are thinking.
So now that's interesting, because if emotionally you're feeling drained and down and out and all of that, that's telling you what you're really thinking. Now you can be saying, well, I'm thinking this and this and this. I just don't know why I'm so upset and tired, and I don't know. I keep thinking other things. No, you're not. What you're really thinking is reflected in your emotional state.
Next point, the story of Aladdin and the lamp, your wish is my command.
And it's interesting because they use that story and say in this ancient story, it's really saying that this young man, Aladdin, finds this lamp and he rubs it, and all the genie says is, your wish is my command. And they're likening that to the, quote, the power of the universe, unquote, saying that all you need to do is access this power and your wish is its command. Okay, so his eyebrows went up on that one.
Yeah.
Okay then, moving right along. There's another quote here from Buddha.
All that we are is the result of what we have thought.
And again, folks, there's a lot of very sensible truth in all of these things. Now, I think there's some things to sift through, obviously, and we'll be doing a lot of sifting and so forth as we go through. But these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bullet points give a sense of what this law of attraction is about, and give a sense of what this DVD, The Secret, is talking about. The idea that you can attract different types of things into your life. And Jonathan, I have seen that in life. I've seen that in my own life. I've seen that in the life of my children. I've seen that in the life of people that I know. Just by mere observation, just looking at people's lives, you can almost tell the kinds of things that may happen to certain types of people, because they seem to be going down a path, a pathway, a self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will. So it's an interesting concept. And folks, if you have seen or read the Secret and have some observations for us, we'd love to hear from you. It's 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
Well, Rick, that brings us to our second question, and that is, are these principles taught in the Bible?
Okay, and so what we'll do is we've laid it out with 5 very basic points. We're going to keep going back to points right off of this DVD as we go through the program, but we're going to filter that through with scriptures as well. Now, Jonathan, there's a great scripture that really, I think, puts the whole thing in perspective.
And that's found in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh within himself, so is he.
So one of the interesting things is that in this DVD, they talk about this secret being something that only a few knew throughout the generations of humanity. And it's interesting that in Proverbs, it really tells you, it sums it up in about, I don't know, 7 or 8 words. As you think in your heart, so are you. And when you really start to just let that statement soak in, what you find is a very interesting result. And it's very, very true. Okay? So, one of the things that they talk about in this DVD are negative feelings that do not empower, negative things that bring you down, negative things that in the DVD they say, have the universe bring to you other negative things. And these are the negative feelings that they're talking about. They listed and made it quite a list.
Okay, annoyance.
Sometimes people get annoyed with me, I know that.
Worry.
Okay.
Blame. Anger. Revenge. Hate. Resentment. Guilt. Depression. Fear.
And it's interesting, as you look at these negative feelings that do not empower, one of the things they said, and I think it's very interesting, is that when you are, a lot of the DVD is really built around gaining wealth and prosperity. And I'm kind of sad about that because I think it's taking the concept and putting it into a direction that really would be better served going other directions.
Too materialistic.
Yeah, that's what I think. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Rick's opinion. Okay, take it or leave it. That's up to you. But one of the things they talk about is if you have a lot of debt, and, you know, you're always worried about getting, about the debt and trying to get out of debt and trying to stay out of debt and I got to get out of debt and debt is really killing me and I'm going to really fight against this debt. What they're saying, and this is a very interesting point, is that your mind is picking up on the debt. And if you say, I'm going to fight this debt or I'm going to get out of debt, what your mind is hearing is debt. What your subconscious is hearing is debt. And what they're saying is what you will attract to you is debt. So rather than being focused on the challenge, you focus on the new direction. Okay, you focus on living in prosperity or living with freedom or something to that effect. And therefore, it begins to attract other things. It's an interesting concept, though. If you're thinking about, I'm not going to get sick, I'm not going to get sick, I don't want to get sick, people around me are sick, but I'm not going to get sick, I'm really going to fight getting sick. What your subconscious is getting
is sick.
Yeah. And so when you've got these negative feelings, they don't empower, they don't strengthen you, they actually pull you down. So those are some of the things they listed off. Let's take a look at what some of the scriptures say in terms of these kinds of negative feelings.
Let's read Romans 8, verses 6 through 8. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God and does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
And Jonathan, to me, when you're talking about setting the mind on the flesh, you really are focusing on a lot of these other things. Because setting the mind on the flesh really sets the mind on the competitiveness and the difficulties of our lives. And what this scripture is saying is when you set your mind on the flesh, it's really hostile to God because you're not looking for goodness. You're continually reviewing badness. I don't know if that's a word, but anyway. all right, Jonathan, I think we have a call. Why don't we take that now just before the break?
Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
It's Don.
Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Let me... You know, I haven't heard such nonsense in a long time. This really ought to stop. I'm being taxed into debt. I don't have debt because I think about debt. I have debt because people with a gun pointed at my forehead say, pay up or we'll take your home away. Huh?
Wow. They had actually had a gun, huh? Did they?
The force of law. Okay?
Okay. So being taxed creates debt? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, when the tax bill comes out to more than I have in my savings account, I clean out my savings account and I give it away. I surrender it to the law who gives it to people.
Okay.
Often to people that have more than I do.
Okay.
There's a Mrs. Jennings that lives down at Groton Long Point with waterfront property. She's on Social Security. She's got a claim on my money. The earthly temporal authorities the Bible tells me to obey and respect. That authority tells me to share my money with a woman with waterfront property. That's part of the reason I have debt.
Okay.
Not because I think about it.
Well, listen.
Okay?
Okay, well, I'll accept that from you. That's fine. Thanks for the input.
No, there's more. I have debt because I have to share with poor people, with
okay.
people who have less than I do.
No, this is not a program about debt.
Bigger homes than I do. I have to share with them. It's the law.
That's true. It is the law. Now, here's an interesting concept. Using this whole idea of the secret, quote unquote, it helps us to grasp the idea if we focus on all of the things that we're angry about, what we're going to get is more of the things that we're angry about. If we could focus on those things that bring us fulfillment and joy and happiness, perhaps we can get to the point of being brought more joy and fulfillment and happiness. I use debt as an example. Sorry if I got you upset about that. That was not my intention there.
It's a dangerous topic to bring up this close to April 15th.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'll avoid the debt conversation for the rest of the program. How's that?
I don't think that's quite enough.
Okay, well...
You know, when I think about these poor people with bigger homes than mine, and they're living at public expense, I keep thinking of that line from the Bible, what is it, inasmuch as you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. Take care of the poor people, Mr. Wood.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing, taking care of poor people. If poor people have bigger and better homes than you, then perhaps we should not call them poor. You know, maybe they're fortunate to be able to have whatever assistance they have. Anyway, Don, we're at the point of needing to take a break, but let's focus on what we're trying to get to here, and that is the idea of this law of attraction and how it works and how it can be a positive thing in our lives or a negative thing. So, Don, we're going to need to let you go because it's time for a break.
Thanks for letting me go.
Okay.
Thank you, Massa.
Somebody's not happy this morning. You see, understand, we attract to ourselves the things that we think about. That's what this law of attraction is about. That's what we want to get to. We want to look at it from a scriptural standpoint and see what kinds of things should we be trying to attract.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Our subject this morning, is it really a secret? To be a part of our program, call 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
And Jonathan, we are talking about a very popular DVD that's out called The Secret. And it talks about the law of attraction and what it means and how it works. And John, let's just read this next scripture, because we talked about a list of negative feelings that do not empower. And this is a good scripture to coincide with that. And then we have a call we'll take right after this.
2 Corinthians 12, 19 through 21. Ye think all this time that we are excusing ourselves unto you. In the sight of God speak we in Christ. But all things, beloved, are for your edifying. For I fear, lest by any means when I come, I should find you not such as I would, and should myself be found of you such as ye would not, lest by any means there should be strife, jealousy, wraths, factions, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, lest again when I come my God should humble me before you, and I should mourn for many of them, and have sinned heretofore, and repented not of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they committed.
So, Jonathan, here the apostle is listing out a lot of these negative feelings and circumstances that only bring trouble with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that, you know, when you look at this concept of the law of attraction, we get what we pour ourselves into oftentimes. Now,
right.
You know, it's not like if you pour yourself today into being positive, then tomorrow things are going to be positive.
No.
This is a trend kind of a thing.
Okay. Well, why don't we go to our call? Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Good morning. My name is Larry.
Good morning, Larry. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. How are you today?
Doing well.
Good. You know, it's not fair to pass such a quick opinion on this DVD, But quite frankly, it borders, to me, it sounds like it borders on psychobabble.
Okay.
You know, there is nothing wrong. I think guilt, fear, you know, those things, guilt can, maybe I'm doing something wrong in my life or I need to correct it. So guilt can be a positive thing.
Sure.
Fear can warn me about potential dangers that I, you know, anger can make me want to maybe correct some injustices and do what I can within the, you know, certain perimeters, of course.
Right.
And those are not necessarily bad things. It's the way God made us. And things of the body are not bad things. Jesus used the body to show who he was. He healed the lepers and the crippled, the blind. So he, you know, but that's to lead to the spiritual health. I mean, that's what that's for.
Right.
And, but these ideas that, oh, no, don't have ever have a bad feeling like guilt or fear or anger, because these are very bad. No, they're not bad. It's who we are. These are emotions that we have. And this, that's the way God created us. It must be for a reason.
Right. And, you know, just in defense of this whole concept, it's not saying don't ever have a bad or guilty feeling. What it's saying is don't stay there. See, because if you stay in guilt, then you ignore forgiveness. And if you ignore forgiveness, you can't move forward.
That's true. But if I close my eye, if someone's poking me in the eye and I close my eye, I'm still being poked in the eye.
You're right.
You know, we can't live in denial either.
Right.
And say, I'm such a happy person, you know, nothing bothers me. Look how happy I am, you know. And maybe you're not. Maybe there's reasons that you're not. But not to say that we ought to go out and just be negative, absolutely. But I hear so many people saying, well, gee, let's grow some corn in the desert. Well, you can't grow corn in the desert. It doesn't rain there. There's no water. Oh, that's just negative. That's negative thinking. You know,
well said.
I think we have to, you know, use some of the common sense the good Lord blessed us with.
I agree with you.
I thank you very much for letting me express myself.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate your call.
And Larry brings up important things. And again, I'm glad he brought it up, especially early on, because we're not, what we're trying to do is we're not, look, I'm not hook, line, and sinker on board with this DVD. It's fascinating to me. It is very, very popular. A lot of people have talked a lot about it, and I think it bears discussion. And I think it has many, many, many very important, solid, scripturally based truths in it. But I also think it does go overboard. And again, that's my opinion. And one of the things that Larry said I think is very important, and that is you don't avoid the reality of your life. You need to deal with the reality, and it actually does talk to us about that, about doing things that will change the difficulties that we've gotten ourselves into, sort of thing. But the idea of feeling guilty, guilt is a good thing. But if we are guilty of something and we do the things necessary to right the ship, so to speak, and we ask forgiveness, we should be able to step up and move beyond that guilt if we've done the things in life that are necessary. And if we continue to go back to the guilt, then we are having no faith in the forgiveness. We're having no faith in the actions that are righting the ship. So there's definitely a balance here. And again, glad Larry called in with that.
Let's go to the next scripture on negative feelings that do not empower. Let's read Titus 3, 1 through 3. Put them in mind to be in subjection to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready unto every good work, to speak evil of no man, not to be contentious, to be gentle, showing all meekness toward all men. For we also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another.
And boy, doesn't sound like a happy way to live, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. And what the apostle is saying here is those things are not going to bring you goodness. Rather, we should be focusing on and on the thing, the DVD, it lists out the positive feelings that empower. And now, when you listen to these things, this sounds like a whole much nicer list.
All right. Love, gratitude, joy, passion, happiness, excitement, joyful expectation, hope, satisfaction.
Now, Jonathan, if you look at the two lists, and you've got them both right in front of you, if you look at the two, and you, now here's a tough question, you had to pick one list to build your life around, which would you pick?
Obviously, the positive feelings that empower.
Because even when you say things like gratitude and joy and happiness and hope, those are great words, and they and hopefully they bring up strong emotions that, that lift you. That's the idea. And, you know, honestly, Jonathan, I think that's one of the core values of Christianity, because Christianity, true Christianity, brings us these things. It really, really, truly does. Let's take a look at a few scriptures that, that reiterate that.
Galatians 5, 22 and 23. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things.
See, there's no law against living in joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. There's no law against these things. These are good things. These are things that we ought to fill our lives with.
Matthew 12:33 reads, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit."
And that, in Jesus' own words, is really saying what this DVD thing was talking about, the idea that you can tell where and what you are by what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And it's not that you're putting on an air of happiness and an air of, you know, faking it sort of thing. That's not what this is talking about. This Jesus is saying you can tell the kind of tree by the fruit that comes from it. The fruit of our lives determines the kind of people we are, period. It truly, truly does.
One more, Romans 12, 9 through 18. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all.
And Jonathan, in this text, there is a number of things. We could spend all program on this scripture, but it talks about rejoice and hope. Well, if you have to be hoping for something, that means you don't have it yet. So it's something that you're looking forward to. It says be patient in suffering. Well, that means that life must not be going perfectly, because you have to exercise patience in suffering. Bless those who persecute you. Well, that must mean that there are those who are beating down upon you and trying to discourage you and trip you up and make you fall. Weep with those who weep. It must mean that, see, when you take those things out, life isn't grand and beautiful every moment. It's full of difficulty. But what this scripture is saying is, see the difficulty through the correct eyes so it can move you forward.
I think the list was missing, I think, the two most important, at least in my life. The list doesn't have giving or helping on it. And to me, that is the most empowering thing that I have ever felt, of helping others. Kind of the opposite of Don's call. I'd like to help those in need, or, you know, just be an encouragement or give to those that have nothing. And the scriptures that we read, it talks about generosity in contributing to the needs of the saints, extending hospitality to strangers. To me, that gives me the most satisfaction in life, trying to help and be a blessing.
And it is a very, very scriptural concept, too, the idea of, you know, cast your bread upon the waters, of giving out, giving all as much as you possibly can to others, because there is great receiving in giving.
Exactly.
And it is a wonderful way to live. And see, if you are a giver and you do it truly from your heart, you know what you will attract is givers into your life. Because like attracts like. And it is a very interesting concept. Let's move forward, Jonathan. We've got a long way to go here, and I can tell this is going to be tough to cover. But, you know, Fred's saying, you know, break, remember that, commercials, you have to do commercials. Why don't we do that right now before we get to the next concept here? Folks, we're talking about the idea of the law of attraction, attracting into your life things that you are deep down looking for.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Don't go away, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Our subject this morning, is it really a secret? To be a part of our program, call 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
And Jonathan, the next step that we wanted to put on the table here, there's a call on the line, we'll just hang on to that for a second, is they talk about a three-step creative process for creating these things that you're looking for. It's an interesting process. The first step is to ask.
Second is believe as though you have already attained it.
And that'll be an interesting step we need to really discuss. And the third is to receive, and that is to feel the value of what you have asked for. So essentially it's receiving before you actually receive. And again, those are important steps to discuss, but we do have a call.
Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Julius.
Oh, you have an active program already.
Yeah, you can, sometimes it stirs it up.
A very lively one. Incidentally, what is your topic again about the secret?
Is it really a secret?
Oh, is it really a secret? Okay. I've heard about the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman I was in conversation with some time ago, and I haven't seen it, but I like to see it. I'm going to see if I can rent it or whatever. But anyhow, it's understandable, to provoke some counterpoint. Doesn't that make sense? You know?
Sure.
Yeah. For example, the person inclined to perversion, warp thinking, would probably take one of the commandments. You know, the tenth commandment says, "Thou shalt not covet." Well, someone could argue, "Well, you know, if I want something bad enough, I'm gonna wish for enough. I'm gonna get it." You know, far off idea, you know, a beautiful woman or somebody's car, or you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a, you know, there's a counterpoint there, you know, the potential for, which I think would be the wrong thinking. Years ago, there was a book written, The Power of Positive Thinking. Was it Dale Carnegie? I forget who it was.
I think that was Norman Vincent Peale.
Peale. You're right. You're right. Yeah, I think I got that book somewhere on my shelf down the basement, but it was a wonderful book. So I can understand some reaction to that. In fact, to give benefit to someone who might be have a counterpoint, not in terms of its validity. I believe in this concept. I certainly do. Like someone on the idea of coveting something that does not belong to you could say, well, Chinese proverb, quote, wrong desire is enemy of happiness. You see how that, but anyway, I believe in the concept, and I'd like to give another saying that I'm sure you've heard before, which corroborates and agrees with the concept that is brought out in this DVD, from what I can understand from what you said. And one is like the optimist says the glass is half full. The pessimist says the glass is half empty. You see the trend of thinking there?
Right.
The positive thinking, I think, is a great thing in it. And also, there's a story about a man years ago. He kept predicting a disaster. He kept predicting disaster. That disaster is going to come. I don't know, it was some event. Sure enough, he thought about it long enough, he came, you know. So there is great value, validity to the negative thinking is not a good thing. So, again, the power of positive thinking is a good thing, and I like to share a scripture with you, which corroborates, and I don't know if you mentioned it already, but corroborates the whole idea that you're advocating, and that is Philippians 4, verse 8. One of the things there in Philippians 4, there are other things, but one of them kind of summarizes the whole series of things in that those few verses, and that is verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4 says, whatsoever things are pure and lovely, think on these things.
Right.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Julius. We appreciate your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Julius says, positive thinking is a good thing. And it is. Now, it doesn't mean that you are in a fantasy world. And that's the difference. And that's where we have to be sure that we draw the proper lines. Jonathan, let's look at a few scriptures on this three-step creative process that they talk about. Ask, believe, and receive. And then let's just put it on the table for a few minutes.
Matthew 7:7-11. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there among anyone among you whom, if your child asks for bread, will you give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will you give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?
Okay, now, we've got that, and that's a very open door, okay? And it talks about the asking and believing and receiving, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just jump down to the James chapter 1, verses 2 to 8 scripture.
My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, I'm sorry, that was repeated.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, okay. But it must be important, though, huh?
Yes.
But see, Jonathan, in those scriptures, it talks about the asking and believing and receiving. Now, let's put this out straight, because what we're not saying is that when you can ask for something, you know, in the DVD, it talks about, you know, you ask the universe for, and you will receive thus and so. But it also talks about, and this is scriptural, it talks about asking in faith, believing, okay, believing as though you've already attained it, and then receiving, feeling the value of what you've asked for. There is a tremendous difference between this, and I'll use the word Larry used, the psychobabble of just asking and just letting it float into the universe, and there's just going about your daily business, never doing anything different, and expecting to see it come. Let me put it in the context of the DVD. You're asking the universe for $25,000 to buy a car or to pay off your debt or whatever it is. Now, if you go to the mailbox the next day expecting to see a $25 check.
$1,000, not $25.
Oh, $25,000 check.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you'll get a $25 check. Missing a few zeros. What's a few zeros among friends? It's not going to happen. But see, the whole concept is when Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, search and you will find.
Search is an act, an action.
Right. Knock and it will be open to you. That's another action. You have to go in pursuit of those things which you ask for. And if our actions do not equal our thoughts, then there's an inconsistency, and it's going to break down. See, what the DVD is saying is that things will come to you when you start looking to the, quote, universe for whatever it is you're looking for. But you have to act on those things. And again, Jonathan, that is a scriptural concept. In the James scripture said, the doubter being double-minded is unstable, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because they're not acting on their request. They're not doing, they're not living, they're not being what that request requires of them. So that's the ask and believe and receive, I think, according to Scripture, is we can't just ask and sit back, you know, Lord, help me to get out of this trial or this difficulty. And then the very next thing you do is go back to it. What is the Lord going to do? What you're saying to God is, God, think for me, act for me, and take me out of this. He doesn't work that way. He gives us the ability to make our choices. And if our choices are not in alignment with our requests, then those requests are not that sincere. They're just not. That's the way I see it. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
There's a bullet point here that reads, you get what you're feeling about even more than what you're thinking about.
And I think that is another very, very important statement that we can take a look at and say, okay, let's see if we can get a sense of that from a scriptural standpoint. And again, let's read this scripture real quick before we take this call.
Isaiah 30, verses 20 and 21. Though the Lord may give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it.
Okay, Jonathan, we have a call. We need to make it kind of quick because we're near the end of the first hour.
Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Yeah, hi. My name is Jen.
Welcome to the program, Jen.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick comment that I saw The Secret and I really got a lot out of it. But also over at Christmas time, my parents gave me a book called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he also says the same thing, like if you prayerize and visualize, it'll actualize.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's just a new concept that has been around forever, but it's just a new way of saying that, you know, positive thinking and positive praying and positive, if you give, you shall receive kind of thing.
Right.
That's it.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Sure. Have a good day.
And I think she put it very well. See, now it took me about an hour to say that.
She should call more often.
Yeah.
Help us out.
Yeah. We can get so bogged down. Thanks, Jen, for the call. But that is really is something. The concept is that there is abundance. Now we have to define what abundance is, but there is abundance for each and every life out there somehow. Now it has to be within the context of that life. You can, in a difficult circumstance, live abundantly or live depressed. And what kind of difficult circumstance? Let me just give you an example. You're a victim of a crime.
Okay.
Okay, you have two people who are victims of the same type of a crime. And, you know, let's make it a very difficult crime that's emotionally distressing, whatever. We'll go that far. You can have two victims walking through life. One of them continually focusing on the fact that they were a victim and they have to overcome being a victim, and being a victim is a difficult thing, and they're fighting victimhood.
Mm-hmm.
And the other can be victim of the same crime, have the same scars, but focus on being an overcomer. See, and there's a whole world of difference. You've experienced the same thing, but what goes on inside of your mind can transform the path that you take. That's what this whole concept is talking about.
You can grow from the experience or you can be pulled down from the experience.
Right, and we can look at the experience and use the experience as an excuse to stay where we are. And this whole idea is you get what you're feeling about even more than what you're thinking about. That's what we're driving to, and the scriptures tell us that. You know, just in closing for the first hour, in Mark 12:30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. There is a heartfelt feeling in that as well as a thinking. That's what you'll get the benefit from. It's the blessing that comes from that. In the second hour, we'll continue with looking at different concepts from this DVD, The Secret, and looking at it from a scriptural standpoint to see how much of a secret it really is. For Jonathan and Rick, this is Christian Questions. We'll be back after the news. But until then, is it really a secret? Think about it.
Seeking forever.
Robert G. Ingersoll said, "Anger is a wind which blows out the lamp of the mind." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. It's a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Our question this morning, Rick, is it really a secret? And our theme text is found in Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow.
And Jonathan, we are using the DVD and book called The Secret as a basis for our discussion this morning. And we're looking at different points that it brings out and comparing them to Scripture. And, you know, let's boil this all down right now. The bottom line, I think we were discussing this just before we came back on the air. The bottom line is all of the goodness that this DVD brings out is already scripturally stated very, very clearly. There's nothing new
under the sun.
Another scripture. And I think that's an important point. That's why we're doing this, because there's the good in it has been stated centuries and centuries and centuries ago. And we need to realize that we've got this book, the Bible, is a text for life. It really, truly does have answers in it to really help us put our lives in perspective. So, Jonathan, back to the process. We're taking different bullet points from this DVD and just putting them to Scripture and getting a verification of a godlike perspective on these matters.
Well, the next bullet point, Rick, is you will attract what your beliefs tell you you need.
Okay, and that's interesting. You will attract what your beliefs tell you you need. You don't necessarily attract what you, quote, want, but you will attract what your beliefs tell you you need.
Let's read 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Jabez was honored more than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from hurt and harm." And God granted what he asked.
Now, a number of years ago, there was a small book put out called The Prayer of Jabez, which was another one of those things that swept through the countryside, so to speak. And it was interesting because it was a prayer of abundance, and it was taken and built upon with the idea that, well, here, Jabez prayed to God, "Enlarge my borders, that your hand might be with me, keep me from hurt and harm," and God granted him his desire. And it was saying, see, Jabez could do it, so we can do it. And it's interesting, one of the things that just strikes me about the scripture, his name was Jabez, saying his mother named him that because I bore you in pain. Imagine growing up and saying, gee, Mom, why did I have my name? Oh, because you were such pain when you were born. That's why I named you. Anyway, that's a side point. But the idea is our beliefs tell us what we need, and we attract oftentimes what we believe, not what we want or what we think or we say that we want, but it gets down even deeper than that to a belief level. And Jonathan, that's one of those things that is very, very important. It reminds me of the scripture, and I don't know who said it. They were talking to Jesus, and Jesus said or did something, and they said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." And I just can't place it. But the concept is important because he believed, but there was still a core in him that just didn't get over the hump yet. The man realized it and asked for help. And he was in the process of being able to change that unbelief by being able to recognize it. Because really, we attract to ourselves our core beliefs, our core values, what they draw. Let's go on to the next point. We've got a lot of ground to cover here.
Make a list of all that you are thankful for.
And this DVD spent a lot of time talking about the idea of gratitude. And let's read this one scripture, and then let's take some time and talk about gratitude.
Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
And, Jonathan, there's some good things in that scripture, because, first of all, it's talking about rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul did not live a life of ease and comfort.
No, he didn't.
And yet, he was capable of writing this and meaning it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also capable of living it. You know, we remember the instance of Silas singing in prison?
Yes.
And just, now look, they're in prison, they're in stocks, they've been beaten, they're in rough shape. What are they doing? At midnight, they're singing praises to God. Why? Because they chose to take that difficult circumstance and honor God that they could suffer for the sake of Christ Jesus. What a great way to list out those things you're thankful for in the face of adversity. And it talks about, you know, there was some comments at the end of that scripture you were talking to me about before.
Yeah, the words, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I was thinking of Larry's call that, you know, some of these books can be psychobabble. But as a Christian, we need to keep our focus on Christ Jesus and make sure it's in harmony with our Christian walk.
Exactly. And if anything that's out of harmony, it's got to get tossed.
Yes.
And I see, that's one of the absolute guidelines that I think we need to keep for our lives on a regular daily basis. Well, another bullet point, and then we're going to get to more on gratitude, is what you think about and thank about, you bring about. And I think that, again, is an interesting concept. What you think about and thank about, you bring about. Read Psalm 121.
And that's verses 1 through 8. I will lift up mine eyes unto the mountains, for whence shall my help come? My help cometh from Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, he that keepeth thee with no slumber. Behold, he keepeth Israel with neither slumber nor sleep. Jehovah is thy keeper. Jehovah is thy lamp upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Jehovah will keep thee from all evil. He will keep thy soul. Jehovah will keep thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
And I love that psalm because it really puts things in a perspective of gratitude. It really does. It says, okay, I'm running through difficulties. And again, this whole concept is that your life is going to be a bed of roses. That's not what it's saying. It's saying through the difficulties and travail of life, it says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, to the mountains, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from God. And it doesn't stop there. It lists out what the gratitude of the writer is in terms of God. It says, he's not going to suffer my foot to be moved. He's my keeper. He's my shade upon my right hand. He'll keep me from evil. He will keep my going out and my coming in. He has control. But it's not enough to say, thank you, God, you have control. It is much more potent to list out all of the reasons why you see God as having control in your life. And Jonathan, one of the points in this DVD that I really appreciated, I mean, just out and out appreciated, was that of gratitude. One of the ways that they talked about promoting gratitude in your life is they talked about something called a gratitude rock. And it was just a simple little thing. This man picked up a rock and had a conversation with somebody, and it became known as his gratitude rock. And he carried it around with him everywhere he went. And as he did that, what it did is every time he felt it in his pocket, every time he touched it, it reminded him of all the things he was thankful for. And I did this. And what a blessing. What a blessing, because it helped to bring my mind back to a better place. And it was in my pocket, and when you'd reach into your pocket for your keys or whatever else, you feel it in there, and you say, oh, gratitude. Wait, stop. Just mentally stop for a moment and just be thankful. And I think if we can master the art of thankfulness in our lives, then this abundance, now again, you have to define abundance, but I think abundance is right around the corner if you live thankfully. And I don't mean wealth and riches. I mean abundance. There's a big difference in my mind. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 860-442-6102. It's 442-6102.
The next bullet point, visualize to materialize. Let's read 1 John 3, 1 through 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure.
Now, in this scripture, it really is doing a lot of visualizing. It says, beloved, now are we the children of God. And there's also some mystery, because it says we don't know what we will be like. We don't know what it's going to look like. All we'll know is we'll be like him. And there is a great visualization exercise, because if you can see yourself as a child of God, how would that change the way you live? I mean, how would that really...
It's huge.
It would, if you took every step and breathed every breath and spoke every word with the consciousness of being a child of God, your life would be different. And that is how we learn to be more Christ-like. Jonathan, in the interest of time, let's move down. I know we're rushing through some of these, but, and folks, we don't want to discourage you. If you do have a call, it's 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102. Let's move on to the next point, though.
And that is, dwell upon the end results.
Interesting quote from Albert Einstein. He said, imagination is everything. It is the preview of life's coming attractions. Now, it's interesting that Albert Einstein, this genius mind, says imagination is everything. Using the power of your mind is a miraculous, wonderful thing. Well, let's do a little imagination here for a moment.
Revelation 21:3-5. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful.
Now, Jonathan, that's a prophecy, first of all. So you can mix some imagination with the grounded hope of it's coming true. And the imagination parts comes in, well, how does this all actually unfold? But think about what the scripture is saying. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. There will be no more pain, for these are going to be known as former things, and they'll be passed away.
Wow.
And what it does is it puts things, when you look forward and you just let your mind take a truth. In my mind, that's spoken in the Bible, therefore it is a truth. You take that truth and you let your mind run with it. It's an amazing exercise. One more scripture before the break.
Isaiah 35:5-6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert.
Can you imagine the beautiful context of the world when these prophecies come true? See, dwell upon the end results, and it's so much easier to get through the muck that you might be in the middle of. That's one of the secrets that the scriptures tell us. That's why we're given prophecy.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Our subject this morning, is it really a secret? To be a part of our program, call 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
And Jonathan, we are going through some various points that sort of jumped out of this DVD, The Secret, and looking at them from the standpoint of scriptural reason. And what we're finding is many, many, many of the things that are in that DVD were long, long, long before written in the scriptures. And there's some very strong admonition for living that we can draw from these scriptures and really, really apply in a very positive way. Now, it's not to say that just by doing these things, it's a magic wand that you wave over the top of your head and tap your heels three times and say, there's no place like home. You know, it's not one of those. It is a process of living and learning and opening our minds to good things. Not evil, but good things, to wholesome things. And those things we're getting from the Bible. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
Our next bullet point, do you treat yourself the way you want others to treat you?
Do you treat yourself the way you want others to treat you?
Luke 10:29-36 reads, but wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?
It's an interesting concept because this is a parable about the treatment of others. However, let's look at, just for a moment, how each of these individuals treated themselves. Okay, the priest treated himself in such a way to say, well, I can't even touch this guy. I've got to pass by on the other side. The Levite said the same thing. I can't get near this man who is dying because I've got other things to do. Late for an appointment kind of thing, and I've got so much holiness involved in what I have to be doing. The Samaritan, who was not looked at on in society as any great person, treated himself in such a way with humility. And he said, there's a man whose life is about to be lost. I can certainly take time out of my life to help this man's life. So there was an interesting humility in the treatment of himself and the application of himself to the needs of another. Jesus rewards that action by saying he was the neighbor. He was the one who really lived up to loving your neighbor as yourself. He treated himself with some humility and action. And just it's an interesting way to just you turn it around for a second. The next point works along with this.
You must love yourself to love others.
Okay, and let's read a couple of scriptures.
Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Okay, and then let's go to Matthew 22:37-40.
And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
So one of the questions I think we need to ask ourselves is, do we really love ourselves? Now, I know that I can be very hard on myself. And I get frustrated with myself when I don't do the things I ought to do and do the things I ought not to do, and all, it sounds like a scripture, doesn't it?
Yes.
But the core is, when you sweep all of that away, how do you look at yourself? And Jonathan, if I were to ask you, what guidelines ought we to use to look at ourselves? What would you say?
You asked the wrong person.
Well, you know, we talked about it. Is that guideline of humility?
Yeah.
And what is humility?
It's an accurate assessment of oneself.
And not only the assessment, but it's also the acceptance. It's the assessment and acceptance of who and what we are. Saying, that's okay. That's okay. It's good to be there because I can always take another step. I can always take another step. And again, that's the positive thinking. You know, and positive thinking is almost overused. You know, the power of positive thinking. Yeah, don't talk to me about positive thinking. Well, maybe you need to be listening. Maybe we need to be working on our belief system to be focusing on really loving what God has given us. What is inside of us that we can say we're blessed to have or to be approaching unto? And take that and say, if we can look at the good there, then we can look at the good in others. It's so much easier. And so there's a very profound scriptural statement that teaches us to do this. Next one.
You must focus on what you want to give it energy and not what you don't want to give it energy.
Okay, and then it says energy flows where attention goes. And we started out the program talking about this and used the example of debt. I probably shouldn't have, but I did. And the idea is, again, we'll talk about the two people that were a victim of the same kind of a crime, and one can be focusing on being a victim, the other focusing on overcoming. And there's a dramatic difference. Same crime, same circumstance, same pain, same suffering.
Different outcome.
Different. Why? Because you're giving energy to where you're going, not where you've been. Very important.
Let's read Psalms 55, 20 through 22. My companion laid hands on a friend and violated a covenant with me with speech, smoother than butter, but with a heart set on war. And with words that were softer than oil, but in fact were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
I like this scripture because it talks about saying one thing and being another. Speech that's smoother than butter, but a heart set on war. Words softer than oil, but in fact were drawn swords. How often do we get into that, where we are going to say whatever we need to say so we can get to where we want to go, but it's not really what and who we are and what we believe in? It's a contradiction, and for us to live contradictions is only damaging. It's only speech smoother than butter. Oh, he was smooth. And when somebody's so smooth, what do you tend to think? Wonder what he's hiding.
Mm.
And it's got to be focus on the goodness of what we're looking for. And see, if we're out to be greedy, that's not goodness. Greed is never good. Never is, ever. Because it's a dead end road. Goodness is a road, like you talked about, one of your greatest joys in life is that of giving and contributing. There's such great value in living a life that gives rather than is always looking to take. Another scripture on this.
Philippians 4, 4 through 8, and Julius quoted the last verse here.
Yes.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
And again, the bullet point was you focus on what you want to give it energy and not what you don't want to give it energy. So the scriptures tell us that emphatically here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there's virtue and there's praise, then think on these things. Mm-hmm. Imagine how narrow our thoughts would be if we passed them through all of those gates every time. All of the places our minds would not go, because those places our minds would not go are simply a waste of time anyway.
Good point.
All they do is distract you from abundance. And again, when we talk about abundance, we're not talking about riches. We're talking about abundance.
Fulfillment.
A full and joyous life. A life that is full of praise and giving and gratitude and compassion. If you can focus your mind on things that are along Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, very, very powerful statement. One last scripture on this before we go on to the next point.
Romans 12, 9 and 10. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Now, let's just pause here just for a second, because one of the things that we need to do here is realize that what we're talking about is not some mystical idea of, okay, think it and it will come to pass. This is Jonathan and Rick with the Thought Police showing you that all you need to do is change the way you think. That's not this. This is not it at all. Now, that's a part of it. But if our thoughts don't lead to actions, then those thoughts are not built on true core belief. And so when it's talking about this, that's why I love the scripture in Romans. Let love be genuine. Okay? It's easy to focus on love. Hate that which is evil. So in other words, you've got to really draw lines in your mind. And this is a lot along the lines of what Larry was saying, you know, earlier on the program. You've got to learn to hate evil just as much as you love righteousness. Hold fast to what is good. So the idea of holding fast to something is an action.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a passing thought.
That's right.
You have to act it. You've got to live it for it to begin to really come to fruition in your life. And Jonathan, we can't lose sight of the action part of this thing. And it's amazing if you begin to focus your mind on a higher life and on godliness and on goodness, things will come into your mind that will be provoked by that focus.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do you act on them? Or are they a little bit uncomfortable and you don't do anything about them? And I think that's one of the things that people can miss, is you have to act on those things which you are pursuing. This is not just thinking. This is not just some, I'm meditating incidentally, I want my Mercedes-Benz. That's not what we're talking about. It's not it at all. It's the actions that have to come out of the thoughts and the feelings and the beliefs.
The next bullet point, Rick, is when the voice and vision on the inside become more clear than the voices on the outside, you have mastered your life.
That is a powerful statement. Read that one again.
When the voice of vision on the inside become more clear than the voices on the outside, you have mastered your life.
And I really, really believe that. There's got to be a vision that we have put together inside of ourselves that is so strong, so powerful, so focused, so guided, so directed, that it overrides all of those other voices on the outside. Because all of those other things fall outside of the context of Philippians 4:8, whatsoever mm-hmm. things are true and just and honest and pure and lovely and so forth. And so you got to stay with that vision, because it really, really, really can focus us. Let's read. This is a long scripture, but this is some good stuff here.
Matthew 6:14 through 34.
And we may end up stopping in the middle, because you know me.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, and they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
All right, so let's just stop there for a second, because it's really giving a dramatic comparison and saying, okay, you forgive and you can be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So to be forgiven, you need to have a forgiving attitude.
Right.
But then it talks about the idea of fasting and it's saying, okay, well, when the hypocrites fast, they make a public ordeal.
Oh, look, I'm fasting. I'm starving. I'm thirsty, but it's okay.
Right. They're doing it for public show.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it, and that's what they're looking for. See, they're going to get what they're looking for. What they're looking for, what they're getting, rather, is public recognition. The idea of the fasting and praying is not public recognition. Now read what Jesus tells us the right idea is.
But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy heavenly Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
Okay, so shall reward thee openly. So one of the key thing here is Jesus is saying when you do your fasting and praying, do it privately. Do it quietly. You're not doing this for public recognition. No, you're doing this so you can honor God, so you can connect. And, hey, it talks about a secret here. Did you notice?
Yeah, I did.
Because the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The secret is that there's a humility that says, I'm doing this strictly for the purpose of connecting with my Heavenly Father. Not so other people can honor and say, oh, look at him. Oh, look, he must be going through some tough stuff.
Or he's a pious man.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. That's not it. So as we look at this, the voice and vision on the inside has to be clear. It's got to be clearer than the voices on the outside. Then you can master your own life.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Is it really a secret? Stay with us. Welcome back to Christian Questions on News Talk 102.3 FM, WXLM. Our subject this morning, is it really a secret? To be a part of our program, call 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102.
And Jonathan, we are in the middle of Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 to 34. I interrupted you. I'm sorry. Well, not really, but... And we'll continue with that with a thought in mind. When the voice and the vision on the inside become more clear than the voices on the outside, you have mastered your life.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and therefore thine eye be single. Thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, and the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you should drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is day, and morrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
And Jonathan, there's a lot of really good stuff in this particular text. And folks, if you do have a thought, it's 860-442-6102. That's 442-6102. You might want to call now if you want to call, because time is running out. It talks about your eye being single, focusing on something very important, not being double vision, having double vision rather, not serving two masters. It talks about consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't get all excited, they just grow. And it's saying God can help us to just grow if we would just focus on the right things. And how do you do all of that? I think that answer is in verse 33. Seek first
the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
See, it's his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. So God will help to take care of your needs and the things that come into your life if we are seeking first the kingdom. If the voice and the vision on the inside become more clear than the voices on the outside, you can master your life. Seek ye first the kingdom. What a great thought there.
The next bullet point, offer your thoughts deliberately.
So think on purpose.
Yeah.
And that, when you think about that statement, think on purpose, think about that. Because I would submit to you that most of the time we're not thinking on purpose. We're just allowing our thoughts to follow some kind of a pattern. And thinking on purpose is a directed activity.
It's a discipline.
Yes, very, very much so.
James 1:19-27 reads,
hurts my brain sometimes.
You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongue, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to take care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world.
Okay, so this, Jonathan, is talking about not only offering your thoughts deliberately, but then acting on the basis of those deliberate thoughts. And your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Okay, so it says, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Be doers of the word. And the meekness and not merely hearers of and like those who deceive themselves. Mm-hmm. So offer your thoughts deliberately. Don't just allow the word to go in one ear and out the other and be able to repeat back by rote what it is you heard. To repeat back a prayer or a scripture or whatever it is by rote because you memorized it. What does memorizing it do for you? See, if you don't act on it, then that memorization really is in vain. I think that's what this is saying. Offer your thoughts deliberately. And again, folks, some of these bullet points come from that DVD, The Secret, which we're just taking a look at in light of Scripture, and we're finding out that, you know what, it's not so much a secret after all, now is it?
The next bullet point, guide your thoughts on purpose. And we have a quote here from Henry Ford. Whether you think you can or you can't, either way, you're right.
And again, there's great power in a quote like that because it gives us a sense of that the accomplishments in our life are directly related to the way we look at the task at hand. And, you know, just quickly in sports, there's such a thing as momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And that really fits into this quote. Momentum follows. See, when you've got momentum, then you've got this sense of accomplishment. And momentum has gone against you. You have this fear, this of being overcome. So whether you think you can or you can't, you're probably right.
Let's read Philippians 3:8-14. Yea, verily, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold of, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Guide your thoughts on purpose. Here the apostle is saying, here are the things that I am focusing my thinking on. And he's saying, it's not like I've already got it down, but I am working toward these things.
I'm not dwelling on the past.
Right.
I'm stretching towards the goal.
And he said, what are they? He lists some of them out. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The apostle wanted to know. It's interesting. He wanted to know the fellowship of Jesus' sufferings. He wanted to be able to relate to Jesus in sufferings. Did he do that?
Oh, yes.
Interesting how he got what he was looking for.
Yes, isn't it?
He wanted to be conformed unto his death. Did he do that? Yeah, he did, didn't he? Because he gave his life entirely to the mission that he was called for.
Sacrifice.
And that's exactly what Jesus did. So the Apostle Paul is a living example of the secret in action. He really is. I mean, you go down further in the scripture, and it says, I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which I am also laid hold on by Christ Jesus. I'm pressing on. I'm moving forward. I'm pushing it. He's guiding his thoughts on purpose. I don't count myself to have apprehended or laid hold of yet, but this one thing I do, and like you said, I'm putting aside the past. Now, his past was pretty impressive.
True, it was.
He was a Pharisee. He was educated. He was high up in the ranks. And he put all of those things away because there was something grander to stretch forward to. See, he guided his thoughts on purpose. I press toward the goal of the prize of the high calling. That's what my life is about. And that's what he did.
He also didn't dwell on the time he persecuted the Christians.
That could have destroyed him.
Oh, it could have.
Because it would have been such a difficulty to overcome. But rather, he took the emotion from that and poured it into building up Christianity.
That's right.
And what better way to do things? So again, the secret, not so much. We have living examples of that. Jonathan, the final point in our last couple minutes here.
Your primary aim is to experience joy. Within that joy, we can clearly frame our intentions.
And I really think that if we can understand that statement, your primary aim is to experience joy. It's not to experience wealth. It's not to experience, quote, prosperity. There's a major difference with joy. You can have all the wealth and prosperity in the world
and have no joy.
Absolutely not. Because oftentimes, now I'm not saying this happens to everybody, but oftentimes people get into that category, end up worrying about losing what they have. Oftentimes people who are given wealth instantaneously, they win a lottery, end up losing it all. Because it's not a joy thing. And let's take a look at a few scriptures that focus on this joy as we wrap this up.
Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those from whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Now, I love this scripture. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, Nehemiah is talking to the people after they had rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And they had worked and worked and worked, and they'd realized how far away from God they had gone. And they were now opening up the books of the law to reacquaint themselves. And many of them were crying because of their past difficulties and their past indiscretions, their past ignoring of godliness. And Nehemiah is saying to them that this is not the time for that. This is a time to take the joy of the Lord, make it your strength so you can leap forward into your life. Not just crawl. He wants you to leap forward and make the joy of God your strength.
Psalms 28:7-8 read, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, so I am helped, and my heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is my strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed.
I love that. There's a lot of scriptures I love here this morning. The joy that the Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts. Can we truly say that that is where our joy and our strength lies? Can we truly say that in Him my heart trusts? When you have something like that, Jonathan, the trials of life, not so big.
That's true.
Because they may be as big as the next guy's trials, or bigger. But in the context of God being your strength and your shield and your heart trusting in Him, it's much more handled.
There's more joy.
Absolutely. Oh, I use your word. Absolutely.
Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
And I think this is a great scripture to really begin to wrap this thing up on, because what Jesus is saying is that, look, I know that all of you listening to me are weary. You're carrying burdens. And life sometimes just gets difficult. Jesus is saying, come to me. If that's the context of your life, come to me. Because I will show you a different way. He says, I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. And you can find rest for your life if you just come to me. And he says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So when he says my yoke is, it's like being a yoke fellow, being in the yoke and having to do the work. But the yoke is not going to be burdensome on you. And the burden is not going to be too heavy for you. Jesus is saying, I can help you reframe your life if you will just allow me to do that. And I think that's what this secret thing is all about. This DVD is talking about the law of attraction. What is it that we are attracting into our lives by our thoughts and by our beliefs and by our emotions? Here, Jesus is saying, take all of those things, bring them to me so I can help you put them in context. Jonathan, what a great way to end a very lengthy discussion on this video, this DVD, The Secret. And we realize that the secret is not so much of a secret, but it is. The good points in it are very, very scriptural. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For what you reap, you will sow. Or what you sow, you will reap. I got that wrong. You sow, you will reap. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We can attract goodness by attracting Jesus into our lives. For Jonathan and Rick, this is Christian Questions. Until next week, it's not a secret. Think about it.